Hey everybody, Joe Diesel here.
And this is Jesse.
Hey Jesse, did you have a good week?
I did have a good week. I got signed up for a secret military program where I thought I was going to get soldier, super soldier serum, but it was just I was using target practice.
From your love of Swiss cheese.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Well, this week we are talking about Captain America. And boy, we saw the movie today. Do you want to give anything away about what we thought of it yet, or do you want to wait until we get to that point?
Let's tease this now, and we'll talk about it later.
Well, I will just say this about that he threw his mighty shield in it.
Yeah.
Quite a few times, but we'll just start here. This Captain America movie marks the third appearance as Captain America by Chris Evans. And, gosh, not sure how many, but there was a serial. But there was it was a failed television series that was made into two movies.
Yeah, the Red Brown. Yeah.
And there was a, it was a failure of a movie in 1990. Was held back, and finally we come up to the one that was released in 2011,
right?
And now this one, and he made an appearance in the Avengers, but that was an Avengers movie.
Yeah.
But you know, same guy, same continuity in the movies anyway. But let's just go back a little bit to the character. Cap's been around for quite some time.
I've been around about not as long as Batman or Superman, but pretty darn close.
Very, very close, yeah. 1941. First appearance, Captain America number one.
I remember reading the, reprints and everything like that, the first time Cap appeared, and pretty amazed about how simple of a story the original Captain America is. He was just a guy who was a 98-pound weakling, didn't have anything to offer the U.S. Army, so they used him for an experiment, and that experiment ended up being the Super Soldier Serum, and turning him into Captain America. So he was, and in the movie, not giving any away, he went from 5 foot, what, 4 to 6 foot 2,
yeah,
and 94 pounds to 240 pounds, just the difference between being him to Super Soldier Serum, which is that? That's probably about right, because when you look at the comics, it looks like that does happen. That he, but after he gets turned into Captain America, the man who developed Super Soldier formula, is shot and killed, and he never wrote down the important ingredient that made it work. So it makes Steve Rogers unique in that he was the only one to be given this formula. Now, back in the 40s, capitalizing on the Batman sidekick motif, they gave Captain America a 14-year-old kid to run around with him in occupied France and fighting Germans and Nazis. That gets Churchill kind of later into a more believable thing, but and Bucky dies. Well, you know, which isn't hard to believe since he's a 13 or a 14-year-old kid. And Cap gets frozen. And that happens all in the same explosion. Because Cap, they're on a plane trying to stop this bomb that Baron Zemo has set up. And they get it defused, but under the defuse, what happens is Cap lets go and he falls into the Arctic oceans and freezes, and Bucky is still on the plane, and it's basically seeing me blown up. So, and then they wake up Cap in the modern day, and now he's back fighting for truth, justice in the American way.
Yeah. Now, talking about Bucky a little bit, we sort of have a connection with Bucky.
Yeah.
Bucky is from, or born in, Shelbyville, Indiana.
Yeah.
and we're from Indiana, not from Shelbyville.
No.
So I just thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so Joe Simon created Captain America, and originally he wrote down the name Super American. But he thought there were too many supers around, so changed the name. I think Captain America sounds a lot better than
makes more sense.
Super America.
And we can't forget Jack Kirby. Jack Kirby had a big hand in the designs of the uniform.
Yeah, exactly.
But even though the one thing that was different, somebody else changed later, is that when Captain America first came out, he didn't have a circular shield. He had that badge, yeah.
Yep.
That looks like a
badge looking shield.
Yeah. Which he used for a while. Then they switched it to the circular shield, which he started to throw. Right. That original one, he couldn't throw it.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of it's a neat looking shield, but for what he needs, he really needs something he can throw around like a boomerang.
Right.
Stuff like that. Now, did Captain America use a gun when he first appeared?
When he first appeared, he did. I remember that he did use weapons. But then again, so did Batman.
Batman did, yeah.
Batman himself. But it made more sense in a way for Cap, because Cap's a soldier. He was fighting in the Civil War.
Fighting Nazis.
Yeah. It is actually his most memorable villain, so the one that is really, you know, when you say Batman, you say Joker.
Yeah.
Superman, Lex Luthor. When it comes to Cap, you say Red Skull.
Yeah.
He was created in those first three comics, too, which I always thought was funny. Have you ever read the origins of Red Skull?
Nope.
He was personally trained by Hitler to be the most horrible human being possible, to have no mercy and all that. So he was personally trained by Adolf Hitler in the... And that's originally from the 40s comics.
Oh, okay.
And, so, I mean, when you're fighting like the Red Skull, who has no mercy, who has no sympathy or anything like that, you gotta have, you know, a gun to, you might have to shoot that gun.
Yeah, you might have to do that. Mm-hmm. So, Captain America makes his appearance, becomes popular, now, ended up being a Marvel Comics character. Marvel wasn't known as Marvel back then. They were known as Timely Comics. And it eventually became Marvel, but when did it really become Marvel?
If I remember right, that was around when Stan Lee got there.
It would be like early 60s.
Early 60s, because before then they hardly had any comics at all, really. Westerns and...
Yeah, I mean, comics in terms of, like, superheroes, they had, like, when they created Captain America, they had him, like, Human Torch was around, Namor, right?
Namor, and Human Torch had a partner, too, his name was Toro.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, so it was a little bit different then, but it came into what we all know today, because it's kind of... difficult to think there was a time when there was no Marvel.
Right.
But they are. Now, I thought this was kind of funny. Superhero team that Captain America was a part of is?
The All-Winners Squad, if I remember right.
Yeah. All-Winners Squad. It's just kind of a funny name.
But, you know, I think in a way that's because back in those days, Marvel was DC was king.
Yeah.
And I think that name's kind of like a reflection on All-Star Squadron.
Yeah.
So.
It's still funny.
It is funny. but he's been a lot, part of a lot of teams. Captain World team player.
Yeah.
He was in the Invaders, the Defenders, of course the Avengers. The Avengers in the comics are the one who found him.
Yeah.
And a sub, they were a sub. I don't remember why they were a sub, but they found Cap. But yeah, he's been a part of a lot of teams. But like a lot of differences you'll find like in the comic books now, because when they woke Cap, it was in the 60s.
Yeah.
And so they had to constantly change that to say, oh no, he was woke this year, this year, this year, and keep getting later and later and later. But one thing I like about Marvel and where DC's getting away from this is that the writers have decided to adhere to the continuity that's already been developed. So how was there a Captain in the 60s, 70s, and 80s and 90s? Well, Steve Rogers wasn't woken up until the 2000s.
Yeah.
So what they've done is that they've dressed other guys up in the Captain America uniform for all those years who look like Steve Rogers and just said he was Captain America.
Oh, that's cool.
And even one of the guys, they tried to give a backtrack version of the superhero and go him crazy. So there was a time there when there was a crazy captain. That was one of the most interesting things about, and I think we'll talk about him quite a bit, is Ed Brubaker, the guy who wrote the storyline, the original comic book storyline that the movie when it's over is based off, that he adheres to everything. He even uses characters from the 80s that were really lame and makes them cool.
Like, do you remember
in the 80s when they had the Russian team with Crimson Dynamo, and there was a giant bear who could talk?
Yeah.
And like,
he made the bear cool.
But he made the bear cool because they go to a Russian gulag, and the bear is in the gulag. Which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah. So we'll move up just a little bit, just a couple of years, to the first time Captain America was ever put on screen live action. And that happens to be 1944, Republic made a serial, and I think we've talked about serials before. They were basically television shows shown in the theater before there was TV.
Right.
Just in case anybody doesn't know what that is. But he actually has the distinction of being the first Marvel Comics character to receive a live-action treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I've never seen the serial all the way through. I've seen bits of it and read the plot of it, and it's really nothing like the comic.
Well, if I remember right, his name's not Steve Rogers.
No, his name is Grant. Let me see. Yeah, Grant Gardner. And he is a district attorney.
Yeah. It's like he's a lawyer or something. He's not even a soldier.
Yeah. So, you know, he doesn't have the comics at the time. You know, this is the mid-40s. Captain America was fighting the Nazis all the time in the middle of World War II. The serial has nothing to do with the war, nothing to do with fighting Nazis, even though there were serials about that at that time.
And usually it was quite a well of good storylines going from that. And it seemed like you'd be the perfect character to involve in those stories.
You would think that. Bucky's not in it at all. I mean, pretty much they use the costume and character name, and that's about it.
I also find it weird that when you look back in those days, you know, Batman and Superman are getting some pretty good treatment. They're getting serials. They have radio shows. I don't remember any Marvel character really having a radio show.
Well, he would be the most prominent one, from what I understand, at that time, anyway, when at the height of radio shows.
Right.
I would think he'd be the most prominent one.
Well, yeah, of course, you know, when you think about it, like, Stan Lee didn't come in until the 60s, and that's when he created, like, what, 99% of the films.
Yeah, I mean, he created the Fantastic Four, Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. So, Cap was, I mean, they had Submariner, but Submariner's lame. I mean, nobody likes Submariner. He's like Aquaman.
Oh, yes, we do. He's better than Aquaman.
He's like Aquaman.
He can beat up Aquaman.
I would say that. But, in one of the comic book histories, run called Ice, they actually say there's actually a little thing where Submariner found Captain America in the ice. Because he shows, you know, he's in the ocean, so he found him in the ice.
Yeah.
And brought him to land, and they're like, well, we're going to defrost him. And the U.S. Army said, no, we can't defrost him. And they're like, why? He says, because we want to use an atom bomb that's going to murder, it's going to kill millions of people. Cap won't support that. So we had to Cat stay frozen. I thought that was... It's so true, because in a lot of ways, people think that, you know, Captain America has a political agenda. Captain America has no political agenda.
Yeah.
Captain America is just there. He wants to keep America safe, but he wants to keep America trip.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, a lot of people seem to think that he's got this, because with the changing, you know, writers, you know,
yep,
things like that, he has no political vision. He can't. He has to be Captain America. He has to believe in his core values. It's very odd today. You know, you don't see that a lot in comics.
Yeah, that's true, sadly. Now, Captain America was portrayed by Dick Purcell, and it says here that you look at the build of Dick Purcell, he doesn't look anything like he should be playing Captain America. He's kind of a little bit pudgy, a little bit, you know, not in the physique you would think that he would be in. But after filming was complete on this serial, he died.
Really?
Yes, he collapsed in a locker room at a Los Angeles country club. Film historian Raymond Stedman thinks that the strain of filming Captain America was too much for him, and he died.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just the opinion of Raymond Stedman, that it was too much for him to do that. So I guess he just didn't get into shape doing that. But they did have stunt doubles and stuff like that, too. But, this is kind of funny, too, when I look at who directed this. Johnny English. Johnny English helped direct it. A fellow named John English is one of the directors. The other director is Elmer Flickson. But, yeah, so I don't know. It could be easy to dismiss some of these serials as, you know, silly, cheesy stuff. I think it's fun going back and looking at that stuff just to see, like, this is the first screen adaptation of Captain America, you know, the first time they're really trying it. Movies were still relatively new at that. Tried a lot of different things with serials. But I think they're worth going back and watching. What do you think?
I love serials, and I think that for that time period that Captain America and, you know, on the other side of the fence, Batman, were the two perfect ones for the serials, because serials usually were very low budget. And Captain America, even though he does have powers, his powers are still easy to reproduce for film.
Yeah, he's not flying.
Yeah.
They did make a Superman serial. They did make a Captain Marvel serial, who is sometimes known as Shazam. But those are two flying characters. You have Rocket Man serial. Those guys fly, and those... But yeah, Captain America would be easier. He doesn't fly. He just, you know, he's super strong, and he
right,
agility. You know, he's a soldier. So
right.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
So, you know, but you know, that gold mine wasn't, you know.
Yeah, for whatever reason, they didn't choose to go there, and I think that's kind of fun too. It was the most expensive of all the Republic serials at the time.
Really?
When they shot that.
I wonder why. I really
Which
do.
Is hard to, yeah, it's hard to imagine that. You know, you go and look at it and go, that must have been made for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But they did spend quite a bit of money on that. So, yeah, that's where that is. I think that's worth checking out. I think we both agree that's worth going back for a look and check it anyway. But let's jump up here to the next adaptation. And, gosh, the next adaptation was straight to television. It was supposed to be a TV series. Mm-hmm. But it didn't end up in the TV series. It ended up being two television movies. And I have never seen these at all. I've seen clips, you know, trailers, ads, but I've never seen the episodes. I've never seen the put-together TV movies. And Captain America 1979, starring Red Brown.
All right.
And there are two of those. First one being called Captain America. The second one being called Captain America 2. Yeah, too soon.
Right.
Distributed by CBS. So you said you've seen both of those. What do you think about those? Were those
the 70s Spider-Man TV movies and actually the short TV series where it's super horrible, but at least you got superhero. Yeah, you got superhero, especially with Marvel, because there are no real, you know, cute Marvel projects or Marvel movies. The first X-Men movie.
Well, probably the biggest thing. I don't remember the exact date it started, but it would be an Incredible Hulk around this time, the television show.
Right.
That would probably be the only one.
And that's probably why they thought maybe, you know, when the Incredible Hulk was popular, they thought going to the well once more, and they pulled out, because Cap is, again, you know, a fairly easy character to reproduce. He does have powers. He, if you go by the comics, his strength level is near good as the Hulk, and he runs fast. You know, he does everything like 110 times better than a normal human would. And, of course, he's a great tactician. But if I remember correctly, one of the things that struck me is that back in the 70s, it seemed like these characters, like the Hulk, Captain America, like Captain America was going across country. He was driving across America on his motorbike.
Yep.
And I think that was just a way for the storyline to, you know, like, oh, that's the way he runs into all these adventures because he's right across country.
Go from place to place, help from people he finds.
Yeah. And, but he's Captain America.
Yeah.
You know, you would think what you would think that there was some generals who were going, why the hell are we got this guy on the road? There's a war in Vietnam going on.
Yeah. You would think that. So you saw both of these? Or
I saw both, but I was young. And
okay, so you don't remember them enough.
That's some war. I remember that he rode around on a motorcycle a lot. He had a stupid shield in the first one.
And the first one is a see-through shield.
Right.
And the second one, based on a good side scene, stills. His suit looks better, and he's got, like, the vibranium steel shoot.
Right, and he had the helmet.
His helmet looks better.
Yeah. Instead of having a mask on, he had the helmet.
Yeah. He is wearing a motorcycle helmet, so anybody thinking Cap can't break his head open.
Yeah.
He thinks he can. He's wearing a helmet.
Now, as bad as those stories are, yeah, they were pretty horrible, and their reproduction of Captain America and all that wasn't impressive at all. I will say I always enjoyed Reb Brown. Reb Brown was the savior of that series. He was always fairly entertaining in that role. And it looked like he had a lot of fun doing it, which, you know, I always appreciated. At least it had a good cap. He was a good cap. He just didn't have the...
didn't have everything else around him.
Right. I mean, in that first movie, I don't think he hardly wears a suit at all. I think the entire first movie runs around in jeans and a t-shirt. So.
Yeah, looking at these ads, I got to give it to them. I mean, they made their suits.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at them, things like nowadays, people are afraid to do that. They want to dim down the colors, you know what I mean?
Well, it's a hard character to dim down the colors for, you know what I mean?
It is, yeah.
But, he's basically an American flag, you know?
Yeah, you're right. He's basically just wearing that. So that brings us up to the next adaptation. This is really, really sad. I mean, it's just really sad. Because I remember the poster for it in the theaters going, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
I remember this poster here.
Mm-hmm. With the shield?
Yeah, the shield was there, Captain America. The year before, the Batman movie was so popular and so big. Oh, there's the next, you're thinking, there's the next franchise. This is going to be great. We're going to get superhero movies finally, you know. Now there's so many out there, it ain't even funny. But back then, in 1990.
It was rare.
It was super rare, yeah. So here you go. You got this. And the poster disappears, and I didn't see anything about it for years. So have you seen this one all the way through?
I've seen that one all the way through. It felt like another Corman movie.
It did, and when you look at the producers of it, this was Cannon Group.
Yep.
And we know what they're responsible for.
Right.
Cannon Group, in case people don't know, that's Meinheim.
Golem.
And, Meinheim Golem and the other guy.
Gruber or something like that? Gruber?
Globus.
Oh, Globus, yeah.
I'm going to say his name wrong. I'm not going to attempt that.
Yeah.
But they had the rights, and there was some dispute. The rights went to 21st Century Films. But just in case you don't know it, they also had the rights to Spider-Man this time. And they were trying their hand at making superhero films. They got the rights to Superman, and they're responsible for Superman 4.
Right.
So, you know, that's really sad. I'm just glad they didn't make Spider-Man.
Right.
That would have been horrible. That's a horrible thing they did to Superman there. So Captain America did end up getting made, and of course the director, Albert Kun, what is he responsible for besides this?
Oh, well, he's done a lot of crap.
He has, yeah. He is like the go-to guy for crap.
Yeah. I think he was part of the Cyborg movies. The Jean-Claude Cyborg movies.
Well, I mean, yeah, so Kickboxer 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Brain Smasher, A Love Story.
Oh, the Andrew Dice Clay movie, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot more. Chicks.
Okay. I kind of understand that it was another low-budget.
From L.A.? Yeah.
Flick, and...
Yeah, it was. I mean, 21st Century Films, I don't think I've heard of them since. So, you know, so...
And, again, even though the movie is horrible in a lot of ways, the acting's not that bad. The guy who plays the Red Skull was a fairly good Red Skull.
Yeah, I thought he was good. I thought Matt Salinger was good.
Matt Salinger was a good cat, but I think the problem with him is that when you picture the cat, you picture somebody bigger. I thought
he didn't get as bulked up as he probably should have for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the costume was good. I mean, overall, I think the costume looked all right. I think the Red Skull looked all right. He does throw a shield in it.
Yeah.
A few times. When I finally got to see it, I remember thinking, this middle of this movie is just so boring. There's nothing happening in it.
Right. But that was, again, a cost-saving maneuver.
Yeah.
Because, again, Al Capone had no money. And, again, he's a horrible, horrible filmmaker.
Yeah, so this was shelved for, like, 2 years.
As it should be.
And then finally released, limited release internationally, theatrical, and went straight to home video after that. And now, I know everybody's really excited about this, especially fans of Blu-ray. This is available on Blu-ray.
Oh, super.
So you can go get that and... you know, I would rent it just to see if there's commentary on it.
Right.
Because
yeah.
I think that would be really fascinating to hear that commentary on some of these movies.
I wonder sometimes, and I don't know the entire backstory, and it might not be true, but I wonder if this was like Roger Corman's Fantastic Four, where it was only made so that the company could retain the rights to the project without having to pay for, you know, the rights for it again.
It may have been. I mean, why did they even spend that and just shelve it? I couldn't find anything to say why it was shelved myself.
Besides it being horrible.
Yeah. Stan Lee had a quote about how great the movie was.
Really?
And I don't have the quote up in front of me right now, but it was a
glowing review.
Yeah, he was. You kind of understand why he'd say that. He wants people to see it and all that.
So. Yeah.
But when you read the quote, it sounds like he didn't watch the movie.
Right. And again, there is no Bucky in it.
Yeah, there's no Bucky in it. But for the most part, it's more faithful.
Right.
It was the most faithful adaptation up to this point.
I understand why there's no Bucky, though. Because, you know, a comic book, you kind of like can spin your belief that there's a 13-year-old kid out hitting Nazis in the face and, you know, fighting Nazis, where in a movie might not be so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially for his first costume.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. Now we are coming up to the break here. Do that, and then we'll get right back on into this. Hey, hey you, yes, we want you, that's right, you 98-pound wuss. We want to know if you have what it takes to be the next super soldier. Sign up now for Captain America Boot Camp. That's right, Captain America Boot Camp. At the Captain America Boot Camp, all of your pathetic wussy skills will be pushed to the limit. You will fight bad guys. You will look cool riding a motorcycle and fighting bad guys. You will wear a cool patriotic uniform while fighting bad guys and impressing the ladies. If you are really good at fighting bad guys, you'll receive your very own hunk of vibranium to forge into your very own specialized weapon to fight bad guys. Captain America Boot Camp. Warning, if you are chosen to be a super soldier, there is a small chance the super soldier serum will be rejected by your body and you will die a horrible and twisted death. All right, now that brings us up to the next adaptation. We are. Do you think we've teased them enough?
Yeah.
Think we ought to get into the next one there.
We can do both together because they're kind of,
they're really intertwined.
Yeah.
So we're kind of saving this for that. But let's just mention this one briefly, Captain America: The First Avenger. Mm. Before we get into that one we saw today.
Right, the Winter Soldier.
So I remember reading when this was first coming out that. When Chris Evans was finally cast, like, why are you casting Chris Evans?
Yeah, he's the Human Torch.
Like, I thought he was good as the Human Torch. Now, personally, I'm not really a big fan of the Fantastic Four in comic book form.
Right.
Anyway, but I gave the movies a try. I thought he's a pretty good Fantastic Four. Human Torch.
Right.
But I didn't see him as Captain America. What were your thoughts?
I didn't, first off, I didn't like what I like to call the double dip. you're the Human Torch. Can't be Captain America too. You're already a superhero in this one universe. Now, I mean, when you think about it, he is a physically fit, blonde-haired guy,
Yeah.
So he's already got a leg in there for being Steve Rogers. No, I wasn't excited about it at all. Of course, if you look at his canon of work before then, there's nothing there to really get you excited about the Sevens at all, really.
Yeah, there's not much there that you're like, yeah, I could see Captain America.
Right. But, I will say that my doubts were severely crushed. He did a fantastic job.
Yeah, I think we were talking about this, too, after we both finally saw it, that I think he's better as Captain America than the Human Torch.
Yeah, hands down, that is very true. But then again, the Captain America movie is a far better screenplay and story than the Fantastic Four movie were.
Yeah.
He didn't have a whole lot to do with those. Yeah. Doing those.
Yeah, exactly. So, so that movie comes out, and I liked it. Joe Johnson directed it. He also directed The Rocketeer, which I liked The Rocketeer.
Yeah, he has a real good grasp of the 40s. My only problem was when that movie came out and he started talking, he was like, oh, well, he won't be all about America. He won't be all about, Captain America.
Yeah, there were some strange things coming out of what they were saying that sounded like they were going to stray away from the character.
Right, what makes him true and good. But they didn't do that. They kept it pretty much true to the comics, the storylines. They did change Bucky.
They made him older.
They made him in his 20s.
Yeah.
And he was... He knew Steve from their days in New York.
Yeah.
So they were always a team. Where, as we were talking earlier, when Ed Brubaker retrocon Captain America for nowadays, they did the same kind of thing. But what happened is that he was 18. He was old enough to be a soldier. And his father was a general and had been training him all his life in the military aspect. And they wanted somebody who was going to be able to do all the black ops work that Steve Rogers would not do. So they teamed him up with Bucky. They told everybody he was 14 and that he was this all-American kid who was going to fight Nazis as a big propaganda ploy. But while that was happening, he was going behind the lines and, assassinating people for the United States. But, it's also the first movie that I think does the backstory to him so beautiful. The special effects of him being that actor, because it's Chris Evans playing 94-pound weakling, because at first they were going to try to...
Oh, yeah, the effects they did for that.
Yeah. They were going to get another actor to play it, and Chris Evans, I think, proper me goes, well, I feel I have to play it, because it's all the same character.
Yeah.
He goes, Steve Rogers doesn't change mentally.
His physique does.
His physique is only going to change. He's still that same person he was before, that honest, good, hard-working,
Yeah.
So, I and I appreciate that. I thought that was, you know, that was a smart move on his part. It's a good movie. It takes place entirely in the 40s, which I thought was a nice move. I thought that was a smart move.
Yeah. So we both like that one. So, I mean, the Avengers, both like the Avengers. He did a good job with the Avengers, but I think we've teased him enough.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's get to the next one, the Winter Soldier. Now, I'll start. I like this Winter Soldier. I thought it was a really good sequel, really solid sequel.
Right.
I think I like it better than the first one. Mm-hmm. I think it might be a little better.
I agree with that.
And that's, like, rare. Sequels. That's rare. I mean, we can name some, but they are rare.
Right.
We talked about that before. But, so overall, I think it's really good and really worth checking out. If you like Captain America, if you like the Avengers, I'd go see it. What do you think?
I've been debating this in my mind all day. I easily thought it was the best single superhero Marvel movie. Of all time right now. Not a lot to compete against, like with Blade, Iron Man, Spider-Man. I think it's better than all those movies, hands down. The Hawks and all those. And Thor, of course, better than Thor. Everything's better than Thor. But I also do think it's the best Marvel superhero movie they've made so far. The writing on so tight. Storyline, the plot is so tight and so crisp that there are no wasted scenes and everything is important. I think that the Russo brothers, the car chases in this movie are fantastic. And they blew up a lot of real stuff, which was a nice scene.
Yeah, it was.
Like, all the car chases, all the cars that are flipping around, they're all, you know, real. They're not CGI at all. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting. It's got a lot of great action in it. When they stop for those few little moments to actually do some texture of it, it's interesting. And I love the bad guy, because the bad guy wasn't a superhero.
Yeah, now we'll just stop right here. We are going to give away spoilers, so
yeah.
I don't think we mentioned that yet. So before we do give away spoilers on this movie, if you want to see it and not know anything else, then you need to stop listening and listen after you've seen the movie. So, give away spoilers.
Well, the villain, the main villain, is Robert Redford.
Yeah.
And what's cool about him is that, you know, I always love it when, if he has no superpowers, the way he works and operates is that he kind of manipulates the shield.
Yeah.
And the government to do what he wants them to do.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool how they did that, revealed that Hydra had infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
How Captain America hadn't destroyed Hydra, hadn't stopped them.
Right.
That they had just moved on and infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D. and was going to kill pretty much anybody that they thought was going to oppose them. Mm-hmm. Now, let's get into the Winter Soldier bit of it here. Mm-hmm. Real quick. Now, I haven't read those books, but I did read a synopsis of those books. I'm prepped for the show. I didn't get a chance to get the books.
You clipped on it.
Yeah, I had to do that. You know, I can't fail that. Here, in school, you fail that, but right here.
All right.
You can get away with Cliff's notes for now. But because you have read those, I knew that, so I thought, well, I'll read a synopsis and then ask you what you think. Mm-hmm. Based on the synopsis, it sounded pretty good with what they did with it. What they changed, you know, I know they changed some things. I saw sketches of the character Winter Soldier, and he looks very alike.
Right.
What did you think? I mean, you've read the books.
I thought they did a fantastic job on Winter Soldier. On his look, he looks like he was actually lifted from the comic book page and put on the screen. The story, of course, is different. It has to be though, because in the Winter Soldier, he's a Russian agent. And he also has a love affair with a Black Widow in the comics. So
not happening in the movie.
That's not happening in the movie, because in the movies they will establish that she's Hawkeye's girl.
Yeah.
But they got the feeling of it right. Yeah, because Winter Soldier is basically a myth. until they actually see him. And it's like, okay, now he's real. We've seen him now. One of the sad things is I wish I hadn't read it and didn't know that Bucky was the Winter Soldier, because the reveal in this movie is so satisfying, so good.
Yeah, that was really good. And I think you were saying that for the people who haven't seen it or read it and don't know who that is, who the Winter Soldier is.
Yeah.
That must be nice to them.
Right.
I mean, I hadn't read the book, but I knew who he was.
Well,
did we say who he is yet?
Yeah, I said he was Bucky.
Yeah,
I said he was Bucky. Great. I ruined it. So now you're all in the same place I was when I watched it. So you don't get that.
All right, you were warned about spoilers.
Yeah. but Bucky is so much cooler now than when he was when they first created him. Because, you know, now he is the assassin who was like in the comics, it's the Russian spy. They're the ones who give him the arm, and they're the ones who keep freezing. Waking him up to do a mission. Reasoning. Waking him up to do a mission. But he was brainwashed, as he is in the movie, to do these little evil deeds for... it's not really the Russian government. It's an offshoot. But a Russian, like, terrorist cell group. And when Captain America finds out that Bucky's still alive, like, in the movie, and which is right, is that Captain America isn't thinking, I'm going to go kill Bucky. I have to go kill Bucky. He will not break away from the steadfast belief that he can save Bucky and make him who he was again. Because there's a great line, and when Falcon, played by Anthony Mackie, he does a great job. He's a great Falcon.
Yeah, this was a good cast.
He tells Cap that this isn't a guy he wants to save, this is a guy he wants to stop. And Cap says, I don't know if I can do that. Because I believe that I can, he can be saved. In that way, it's a beautiful sentiment. But Captain America is still that guy. Even Superman kills now. But Captain America is like, I'm not going to kill somebody that I don't have to kill.
Yeah.
If I have to, I can save them. And in a way, he's right. But because Falcon's right. Falcon was right to say that.
Yeah, he was. What if he,
He can't be saved.
He doesn't give you the chance to save him.
Right. And Captain America is also right, which is great because you see both sides of that, little debate. It's like, okay, cool, that's good.
Earlier, when he had confronted him, and he saw that it was Bucky, that reveal we talked about, he called him that, and it threw Bucky off. It threw off the Winter Soldier.
Right.
And they had to brainwash him again.
Because after he says Bucky, the Winter Soldier turns to me and he says, Bucky. I don't know who that is. I thought that the Black Widow was very well used. She was better used in this than she was in the Avengers movie. But of course, the Avengers, everybody was fighting for a little bit of time in that movie. It's a big movie. But her character seemed perfectly fit for the movie. Of course, Nick Fury, Samuel Jackson, can't beat Samuel Jackson. But he tells that interesting little story about his granddad being an elevator operator.
Yeah.
And he'd make all those tips and everything like that, which in real life, Samuel Jackson's dad is an elevator operator. Was an elevator operator.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. He kind of took his own story in there. Because a lot of the dialogue and scenes, the actors kind of took and wrote their own dialogue for what I would call the personal scene.
Oh, that's cool.
And I think that's, staying with that, there to show why Nick Fury doesn't trust anybody.
Yeah.
The good scene, it reveals why he has this trust issue. Of course, he's a secret agent.
Yeah.
He's going to have trust issues.
Now, who else was in this? Let's see, Gary Shandling made an appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Toby Jones.
As Zola.
Made an appearance.
It's got a good cast.
Yeah, it does. It's got, who's that? Thomas. About him, he played Dracula, most briefly, in the Dario Argento Dracula movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's also in King Kong.
Yep.
King Kong remake, and he also played Pope John Paul II in the TV movie.
Yeah. Now, he's not integral to the plot of the movie.
No.
But
we will say this. Stay for the credits, obviously.
And don't leave it halfway through.
Because they do have something halfway through the credits and then something very end.
Right.
Now, I'll let you be the judge of how important those two things are when you see them.
Now, I think we can both agree that the first one is important to not the next Captain America movie, but it's important to the next Avengers movie.
Yeah, they're probably doing that.
And then the last thing is important to the next Captain America movie.
That's probably true.
Because I don't want to give away the ending and say what the heck at the end and the other.
Yeah, the only spoiler we won't give you is what those are.
Yeah. The end of this movie perfectly leads, and there's going to be a third film.
Yeah, into the next one, and we all know when that's going to be released.
On the same day as Batman vs. Superman.
And we'll get into some of that later on in a later show as more news develops about each film. But, I definitely see this again.
It was a slam dunk.
The only thing I'm trying to think about, well, what was bad about it? What didn't I like about it? And it's such a small thing it's just a nitpick about. But I kind of would wish that some of the action scenes were not so shaky and not so much close-ups.
Yeah.
So you can see the fight.
Yeah.
But it's such a small little thing.
And even that is to stream.
Yeah, it's used fairly well.
Yeah, it's not Bourne Legacy or Bourne Supremacy or...
Yeah, where it is hard to see. But, I mean, you do get to see a lot, but there is a lot of close-ups in there. But there's plenty of times where you see, like we mentioned, he throws a shield quite a bit. I think you mentioned it earlier, used to great effect, his shield. And there is that moment in the trailer where he throws the shield in his first encounter of the Winter Soldier. He turns and catches it. That's a great moment. And I can see why they put that in the trailer. Because even in the movie, it's awesome.
That first 10 minutes of the movie, where he meets the Falcon, but then he goes on that first mission, and he's running along that boat, and he's like beating the living hell out of everybody. It's such a magnificent little scene.
Yeah.
And just shows how powerful he is, and establishes his power base, I think.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really super nice. And, of course, I also like the fact that, like, with Batman the Dark Knight and Batman movies, are like, we've got two villains in here.
Yeah.
And there's actually there's three villains in this Captain America movie, but they're used to perfection.
Yeah.
But there's Batroc the Leaper,
who's
a Captain America villain, but he's used in the first moment of the movie, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Then there's the Robert Redford.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And in a way, you could also say that Crossbones is a fourth villain, but again, he's used as a character that's integral to the plot of the story, and you don't know he's Crossbones. But they used him as parts of the story that worked and didn't distract from the movie at all.
So was there anything you found about the movie that you were like, well, maybe that's not about right?
I had a problem with the shaky cam too sometimes. I'm not a fan of that. There's not much to find that was wrong with that movie.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I didn't think the music was so intrusive. I thought the music was pretty good. I mean, I like the look of the film overall.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you already mentioned the writing. I totally agree about the writing. It's a tight film.
Yeah.
But I want to ask this. Now, I read that when the first Captain America movie, the first Avenger one,
right,
Red Brown and Matt Salinger, who both previously played Captain, both independently contacted him about cameos. What do you think about that? I mean, and I've been thinking about this more since Harold Ramis passed on.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about cameos of that? Because it seems like they're getting away from that some, about cameos about some of these people who've previously done these.
I mean, it doesn't... I wish Rip Brown would have got one, because like I said, I thought he was good. I think they were trying to distance themselves as far as possible from that. He tried. But, I mean, it doesn't bother me, I guess, as much, because that's up to them, you know.
Yeah, I just think it's a nice little nod to what had been done before. And
but of course, they always have Stan Lee in the movie.
Yeah, Stan Lee does make a cameo in this.
And,
Did he have a cameo in the other Captain America movie?
No, I don't. He does, but I don't know where it is.
I know it was either this one or the one before that. Because Stanley usually would only make cameos in the movies of jerks he created, but he didn't create Captain America, and it was a sort of a break from that
right.
tradition. But you know, he did have a hand in relaunching Captain America.
But he is the Alfred Hitchcock of the.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's an old, and you know, he didn't create Captain America, but he made Captain America who he is as we know him.
Yeah.
From the 60s on.
If it wasn't for that relaunch they did.
Right. There would be no Captain America.
We may not remember the Captain America character.
I agree. I would say that, yes. Over the years, he's cast him through a lot, and he's gone through a lot of variations of who he is as a person. Like, and for a while there, even Captain America wasn't Steve Rogers. He was Bucky. Bucky took over after he got freed of his brainwashing. And he took over as Captain America because Steve Rogers was killed, or allegedly killed. And
yeah, they're not killed all the
no.
way.
But those, the movie was perfect because Captain America, like, I was talking to this stuff with this book, you know, he can go in the outer space by aliens, and you're like, okay, Captain America can probably pull that off. I mean, and, you know, even Captain America, you're like, yeah, they can probably do it. They, you know, but they don't feel right unless they're in their element. And Captain America feels right when he's fighting, you know, like armed forces and, like, you know, terrorists and things like that. Like, when Captain America, like, Batman only feels right when he's fighting people in dark alleys and beating the hell out of them.
Yeah.
You don't go above your pay grade, I guess, kind of, right? You know, Captain America is there to defend America, and he's there to make sure that we're safe and
right.
our freedoms are being, you know, watched.
Yeah, but, I thought it was kind of interesting, too, in that movie when he was talking about, well, this isn't freedom. I thought that was pretty good. I think that goes ties back into what you were saying about how he stays kind of
right.
He doesn't compromise that.
I mean, he does have he does still have his 40s mentality. So, you know, we don't think the way that people in their 40s did, you know, because the world's changed.
Yeah.
And he wasn't part of that. He didn't get part of that. But I think if he was even still there, he probably would have. His mentality would have changed. He was steadfast in his ideals.
Yeah.
And like that is a great line where he goes, "That's not freedom, that's fear. You're scared, and you should."
Did we say exactly what they were going to do with those?
Oh, they were building a those helicarriers.
Yeah,
with a new propulsion system.
Now, one of the things they find out is the Hydra scientist had built built an algorithm. Probably the right term. He came up with this algorithm that would figure out who's a threat. And it didn't matter what kind of a threat, if you were any kind of a threat, it sounded like those things were going to fly around and shoot everybody.
Right.
That was any kind of a threat. And it goes back to that whole thing about, well, you could have these thoughts, but you don't do act upon it. So, but even if you do that, you're still a threat, and they're still going to kill you, so you're guilty.
Right.
I forget the line that he used in the movie.
It was basically people who were going to stand up and not take Hydra, take over the world.
So, like, if you had posted something on social media or anywhere like that, those machines would come and kill you.
Right, the laws you broke and who you were as a person, who you voted for. You
so, it didn't matter what it was, you were all going to die.
Which, there's a nice moment when the guy's explaining that plot to him.
Yeah.
He goes, it would kill my high school valedictorian. It would kill you. It would kill you. It would kill Stephen Strange.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Nice drop of a name.
Yeah. That reminds me. You noticed something in Bob Redford's refrigerator that I didn't notice.
Yeah.
There's a scene of Robert Redford getting something out of the refrigerator.
He goes to get milk out of the fridge because asks the real surgery to use a glass of milk. When he opens it, there's a big pasta jar in the fridge, and it's Newman's own pasta jar. It's like a little nod to his old buddy, you know.
In case people don't know, it's Paul Newman.
Yeah.
And they're in a great movie together, Butch and Sundance.
Right. Butch Cassidy and Sundance.
That's a great movie. If you haven't seen that one, check that one out.
And he was good in this movie. Right?
He was, yeah. He hadn't lost his touch at all.
No. He seemed to take up to it nicely, this, you know, superhero world. He just,
yeah, didn't bat an eye.
No judgments, no nothing. I read somewhere that he decided to do the movie because his grandcousin's kids loved the Marvel movies, and they wanted to see him in one, so he said, well, why not?
Oh, that's cool.
And I think he picked the perfect project for him.
That was perfect for him, because in the 70s, he was in those legal political thrillers,
right.
A few of those. So.
All President's Men, he was in The Gates of the Condor.
Yeah, so, okay, we're coming up here towards the end. I mean, it really flies by when you're talking about something you really love. So.
Yeah.
I guess, if you haven't yet, if you could sum up. I mean, I know you've said repeatedly Captain America's one of your favorite characters.
Right,
so
okay.
If you could sum that up.
It's just nice to see that somebody, you know, like when, I know some people will disagree with me, like Christopher Nolan with the Batman movies, and with, it's nice to see people who get who the character is, don't want to change the character, but just want to make the character, you know, fit the movie. They're not going to change, you know, huge dynamics like with Superman and like that. Captain America is still is the Captain America from the comics. And the storyline, which was beautifully adapted from what Ed Brubaker wrote, they don't poo-poo or they don't go, oh, this is a comic book. It doesn't deserve my respect like that. These guys who adapted, respected the material, enjoyed the material, and wanted to use it for it. Instead of being, and not, we'll probably talk about this in another issue, like the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. We're like, we're going to just make the changes that we need to make. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't say any better. I have read Captain America comic books off and on over the years. I've enjoyed these last two movies and the Avengers also, his appearances, the character, definitely worth checking out these couple of movies.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there it is. I think that's it for Captain America. I think next week we decided to talk about Batman next week.
Well, yeah, 75 years,
I think. So, yeah, and the reason we're doing that is this year marks Batman's 75th birthday.
I know we've already done the Tim Burton trilogy.
Yeah, I talked about the two Tim Burton movies when you were
out galloping in the haunted house.
Working the haunted house scene.
Yeah, so
well, yeah, there's still plenty to say about Batman.
We
I
can,
mean,
you know,
he is huge. And
yeah. We have the Christopher Nolan movies to still talk about, and we still have, like, comic book history to talk about with him, too.
Yeah, there's plenty to do, so I don't know. Maybe we might make that a two-part at some point, or just do one part next week and another part another time, because that's a big topic. And, yeah, so we'll see you next week.